She's a rising talent in gospel music with a voice that's pure, high, and solid. So why would American Idol block that path? Because of her faith. Amber Thompson of the Neelands is here to talk about it.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Gospel music on a national platform. We've seen it so many times, and in the history of gospel music, you've seen it, and we've noted that with million-selling songs and songs that really took the Billboard charts by storm, including Gaither videos have been chart toppers in secular world. But the talent in gospel music alone, just simply looking at the talent, is something that most of us in gospel music would argue could be put next to any pop artist or any rock artist and go head-to-head with it. Then you have the talent-type shows, reality television. You've got American Idol, and we've seen a few strong Christians come through on that show and have a powerful testimony. Obviously, a lot of country music and a lot of these artists go back to church as being an influence in what they do in bringing them up to their careers today in singing. Enter into the scene Amber of the Neelands. Amber Thompson has soared not only as a child artist, her music as a kid caught the attention, but even as she matured, the songs kept coming and the voice was there and it kept improving. And when you've got genes that come down from Rex Neeland and her mom Kelly, I mean, you simply cannot ignore what talent she has. So let's go to Orlando, Florida. Let's go to a sunshiny maybe kind of day at Disney World. And I've been to this showcase they have there, which is an American Idol experience. And I thought it was just for fun, but there is a true connection line that goes all the way to Hollywood and the American Idol stage at the Kodak Theater. So let's kind of recap how it all started, and let's kind of pick up with the American Idol story that came to maybe a stop, but maybe not where you think, with Amber on our show today. So welcome, and let's tell the story.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I think before we had a talk about how it all came about, we had gone on vacation to Disney World. We love Disney World. It's our favorite place to go for vacation. And they do have an attraction there called the American Idol Experience. And what it is you just go in, you try out just like you would the normal American Idol. And you compete against all these different people, and if you make it through, then you're on their showcase for the day. And they have seven different shows that will show throughout the day. And they put me on I think it was like 2 o'clock I had made it, and I'm there with 3 other people. So I try out there, and I make it on the show. I compete against these 3 other people, and I win that day, or I win that show. And then that night, I had to compete in the final showcase, and that's from all the winners of their shows for the day, and that's the 7 people. So I go that night, and I do the same song over again, and I won the whole night. And so I thought, you know, oh, this was fun. It's just something fun to do. And then I got backstage, and the producer of the show handed me a ticket, and he explained to me that this was called a dream ticket. And what this was for was that I was to be allowed to go to the front of the line of the real American Idol. So I took the ticket kind of laughing, and I was like, okay, thank you, but no thanks.
Dude, they do one of these a day, or just if it just happens to work out?
Yeah, they do one a day. So, I mean, you got to think there's 365 people that they add on, you know, to try out. And now the thing is, you can pick any city you want to. You don't have to go to any certain city. And so I got on the bus, though, and I, you know, we were all kind of laughing about it, just joking around. And Mom said, you know, I wonder what would happen if you were to just really go and try out. And I said, you know, I don't know. I've never even thought about it. It's never really crossed my mind. And so we really started praying about it and figuring out what the Lord would have me to do. And we talked to my pastor, and the pastor said, you know what? I would go until the Lord puts a stop to it. And so that's what we did.
Besides two waters, sweet consolation.
Yeah.
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Amber Thompson of the Needlands is our guest today. She's sharing the story of her American Idol experience, and that conversation picks up here.
We looked at all the cities, and, you know, with our traveling schedule, it's very hard to find anything to do, especially on a weekend. And we found that Austin, Texas was the only one that we could travel to and make it there and be able to fly back. So I went to Austin, Texas. I tried out. I made it through the first round. The funniest story was, this was hilarious because I don't think obviously I hadn't got to tell you this part of it yet, but I sat down and we were the first 30 people there that got there and were the what they call the VIP section. And so we sat down and I'm sitting next to this young girl. She's a little bit younger than me. She's got long blonde hair. And I could tell just from her talk and the way she acted and just the things she was holding that she was Christian. I mean, her and her father were talking about church a lot, and I could hear her talking. And then I kind of just, you know, kept to myself, didn't say anything. But I noticed she kept looking at me, and she just kept staring at me, and then she'd quickly, like, turn down and look at her phone and start texting. And then she'd look at me again, and she'd start texting really quick, and I thought, well, this is awkward. And so about that time, about 10,000 people pour into the stadium.
Wow.
I mean, we are in this packed-out stadium in downtown Austin, Texas, and it is just packed.
And this is where people camp out all night.
Oh, yeah. There was one girl that camped out for 5 days to get to the front of that line.
Wow.
I mean, there are some people that will do whatever it takes. And so, anyways, back to the girl. All these people are there, and you can remember, there's 10,000 people. And I'm sitting next to this one girl, and she looks at me, and she said, I used to sing your song, Show and Tell, in church when I was a little girl growing up.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, oh, my goodness, out of 10,000 people, I sit next to the one girl that knows exactly who I am and had my CDs when I was little. So it was just kind of funny, and we laughed about it, and we became actually pretty good friends through the whole process.
Some career highlights and hits from Amber Thompson of the Needlands, right here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I'm going home with Jesus. In the twinkling of an eye, and I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when it calls His church's way. Well, I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. From a place called Calvary, by the precious blood of Jesus, the tribute's been paid for me. Yes, I'm a going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye, and I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when they call this church away.
Destination's heaven, save on the crystal shore. We'll meet
Thompson of the Neelands on Daniel Britt and Friends. Amber's story of her American Idol journey.
So I went and sang for the little vocal coaches that you go through. And got through. I was the first one through of the day. They took pictures. I did interviews and went back and signed all these forms. And they told me you got to be back 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And so I came back.
Were camera crews there this time?
Yeah, camera crews were there. Ryan Seacrest was there. Oh. I like Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. He's my favorite. But so I came back 2 days later, and this time it was in front of the producers of the show, some of the people, the executive producers, and this was kind of like the second audition that they kind of look for the talent, not so much the singing talent, but if you've got the personality and if you've got the stage presence, that's what they look for. Each audition has a meaning, and it means something every time, and you have to have what they want in order to make it through. And so I go through the second time, and I made it through. And then that same day, they told me, they said, you've got to come back in a month. And so, in fact, I went to NQC, and the next week I flew back out to Austin. Every time it was, you come back to Austin. And so this time was in front of the owner, and that's Nigel Lithgow. And I got to sing in front of him, and knowing I've seen his name on TV, you know, he owns several different shows, especially on Fox. And it was just an honor to meet him and get to talk with him. Of course, he's British, you know, so when he talks, he's really funny. He's just got a dry sense of humor. And so I sang for him, and, you know, he came back and he told me that he loved my voice. And he when you go in front of him, now they're looking for the look. You have the look.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he explained to me, he said, we've got two different things that are fighting for one person. You've got a record company that is looking for the voice, but you've got a TV show that is looking for the look. And they are two separate entertainment companies. Wow. And they've got to somehow come to the middle to an agreement of what they want. And he looked at me and he told me, he said, you were what we were looking for. And so my hopes were very high at that point when Nigel Lithgow looks at you and says, you know, you're what we're looking for.
At this point, is he the only judge that's there for this one?
It was him, and it was a few of the, I don't know who the other two people were. I know they worked for Nigel, and they help him make the decisions, and they'll kind of talk to him about, you know, if they think it's good or if they think it's bad. But he kept telling me, he said, okay, so I want you to do interviews, and I want you to do TV commercials, and I want you to do a photo shoot. And he said, we're going to make you the face of American Idol.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Amber Thompson of the Neelands is our guest today. She's sharing the story of her American Idol experience, and that conversation continues in a moment.
There. Amber Thompson of the Nelands. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
And I mean, I could not believe it. I was just flabbergasted, to say the least. And so I ran out of the room, and I was just like kind of like so excited. I couldn't believe it. And so he said, tonight you're going to go in front of the real judges, and this is to make it to Hollywood. And this was, of course, Jennifer Lopez, Randy Jackson, and Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. And so I was just already excited because, you know, I'm getting to meet famous people.
These people
are, you know, huge. And so I was kind of nervous about it. And I don't ever get nervous singing. I mean, singing's what I do. Yeah. You can't be nervous at it. But I just thought, oh, my goodness, I'm about to sing in front of Steven Tyler, you know, with Aerosmith and all these people that, I've heard on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Nigel kind of calmed me down. He said, you know, it's going to be fine. You're going to make it through. No big deal. This is just basically how he made me sound, was that this is just something that we have to do just to put you through. You know, this is not a big deal. Going in front of me was a big deal. You'll pass through them easy.
So is your understanding that being the face, you were going to become the face for that season and all their promotions, you know, who's going to make it, you know, and you're kind of the, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they were going to use me in everything.
Wow.
And, of course, I wasn't the only one, but they really took a liking to me. And I think it was because with Nigel, he told me it was the conservativeness of me. He said, I don't have to come in here and worry about what you're dressed like. And he said, because I can focus on the voice and there's not a distraction elsewhere. And for me, that was a huge compliment, you know, because being in Southern Gospel, I mean, if you wear something that might be a little bit too short, you get told how bad you are. And here it was like I wore pants and he told me how conservative I was.
Right.
So it was nice to hear something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that night I rode a van. They put me in a van and they drove me to the judges. I sat and waited with about 100 other people, the only people that had made it through to that part of it. And Casey Abrams being one of them, who is actually still on the show, I sat next to him the whole way through this whole process. I was next to Casey. And you know, he's another one that will kind of surprise you. When I first looked at him, I never thought that a voice that he has would come out.
Right.
But he's actually a really good singer, and he's got great talent, and he's a great guy. So I sat next to him. We kind of struck up conversation. He knows all about the Gaithers and all that stuff. So it's kind of neat. And seeing him, I've been rooting him on since he's been going. But we went to the judges, and I got in there. I sang my song, and Steven loved it. Steven Tyler just loved it. He said, I mean, he said, your voice is just so pure, and it seems, you know, you can hit the high notes. He loves high notes. You know, he does rock music, and he has high notes.
Right.
So he loves when you can belt it out.
Oh, what a time when we get there. Oh, what a time when we get there. Angels will be singing, hallelujah's ringing. Oh, what a time when we get there. Oh,
Thompson of the Neelands. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. She's sharing the story of her American Idol experience, and that conversation picks up here.
You know, Randy was like, yeah. And they asked me a little bit about my family background and what I do for a living. Of course, they have sheets of paper in front of them that tell you, you know, they tell them everything about you. They've done background checks. They know who I am.
Right.
And so we go through this whole thing. I'm telling them about Southern Gospel, and they still didn't kind of know who it was. And as soon as I said Bill Gaither, they're all like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, I know. If that's what it takes, I'll take it.
Right.
But they knew exactly, you know, they'd seen the commercials or, you know, maybe they've seen the videos. I don't know.
So at this point, the cameras are there maybe, but this is a little more informal than what we see. We see a very edited snippet of what the judges interact.
Very edited snip, and sometimes snips that can be taken from other interviews and made to look a different way. It's TV, you know. They're going to make it look for their advantage. And so then Jennifer kind of had this look on her face, and I don't know that she ever really loved me from the start. And after she found out, you know, that I was very set in my ways, so to speak, and she said, well, Amber, I know you said you sing gospel music. She said, this is not a gospel competition. And I kind of looked at her kind of like, well, I know that. But and I said, well, you know, Jennifer, I'm in the world. I'm just not of it.
Right.
And I said, I love to sing. And I thought that that's what this was for, is to find the singing talent. And that's what I do. I just do it in a different genre.
Right.
And she kind of shook her head. She didn't say anything. And she said, okay, we'll sing another song.
We're continuing her story here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
So I sang again. And, you know, Stephen's still, like, hitting her, and he's like, I think she should go through.
Yeah.
And Jennifer said, Amber, you know that we do secular songs on this show. And she said, are you willing to sing secular music?
Were you auditioning with secular or with gospel? I mean, what were you singing at this
point? I did country gospel, mm-hmm. which is, I did the Christian country version of songs mm-hmm. where, you know, like Martine McBride's, I did Anyway, and that's mm-hmm. on Christian radio. Mm-hmm. And I sang that one. I can't even remember the other ones I did now, but I do know I did that one. That was one of the songs that
were
I did.
Were these a cappella?
Yeah, it's all a cappella. There's no tracks. And I think I did Jesus Take the Wheel, actually, on once she told me to sing again. Uh-huh. And so she said, are you willing to sing secular songs? And so, you know, she was just, she was pounding me with questions.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, I'm willing to sing songs that have a positive message that don't compromise what I believe. I really believe that God would not have me to sing anything, you know, in any shape or form that would dishonor him. Mm-hmm. And I said, so that's really where my standpoint is. And she said, okay. So she put her head down, and then Stephen said, well, why don't you sing again? So this time I sang my third song. Now, normally the interview takes about 10 minutes. I was in there for 50. I was in there
wow.
for 50 minutes. And
50? 50. 50. 5-0.
Wow,
5-0.
Career highlights and hits from Amber Thompson of the Neelands. Now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
How high above.
when the other two, Stephen and Randy, while she's asking these questions, are they just kind of watching the interaction between the two females in the room here?
Yeah, they were. I mean, Stephen actually was on my side. You know, yeah. He was looking at her like, what is your problem? And Randy, he was looking at the papers. I think he's just trying to feel me out, figuring out, you know, is she for real? Or...
Right.
And, you know, they were trying to just push me in a certain way. I think,
right.
Looking back now, I think she liked me, but I think it was just the Christian part,
right.
Honestly, and that's hard to say, but I would hate to say it, but I really think that's what it was.
Right.
And so, by the third song, she looked at me and she said, "Amber," she said, "I've got to ask you a question that I don't know what kind of answer you're going to give back to me." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Would you be willing to sing no Christian anymore, only secular music?" And she said, "You know, and I really believe that if you dressed more," in her words, "sexier," mm-hmm. "I think you'd be dangerous." She said, "I think that you'd be unstoppable on this show. You're going to go all the way because the people, right, are going to vote for you." And she said, "The guys are going to love you." And she's like, "And then the women are going to love you for your voice." And she's like, "But you can't sing Christian." And she said, "It's just not going to work." And she said, "So are you willing to do that?" And she gave me the ultimatum. And immediately, I mean, I looked back at her and I said, "No, I'm not willing to do that." I said, "That changes who I am. It changes what I believe. And mm-hmm. that's going against what I believe. And that's not what I'm here for."
Right.
And she just kept, you know, she looked at me and she said, "That just really disappoints me." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry it disappoints you, but there's a lot of people that it doesn't disappoint."
Right.
And wow. So we kind of had this little bit of a conversation just back and forth. I really couldn't believe what I was hearing because, you know, back...
It's so direct.
Yeah. And about 5 hours ago, I had Nigel Lithgow in my ear telling me, you know, he didn't care about all that. But
right.
when it comes to the judges, it's up to them.
Right.
And it's their decision in the end. And it just goes to show, you never know what way it's going to go. And so Stephen looked at her and he said, "Jennifer, what do you think?" I mean, he's looking at her like, are you really about to say no to this? And he said, "Well, what do you think? I think we should put her through." And she, out of her mouth, she said, and I quote, "I think she's just too Christian."
Amber Thompson of the Neelands and her journey with American Idol. Amber's response coming up on Daniel Britt and Brent.
From Abraham's night, and in Moses' day, some sheep were slayed for the Passover sacrifice. Let me tell you about one spotless lamb whose blood is covering my door. I don't know about
Music of the Nylands, highlighting the lead vocal of Amber Thompson. Her American Idol experience and journey captured the attention of many in the Idol camp, but ultimately a decision she had to make based on morals and her faith. Her story continues now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You know what? It answered so many questions for me as far as what should I do if I do get on the show? You know, how am I going
to... It's back to your pastor's comment, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what was crazy is the night before I went on there, you know, my parents weren't able to go that time. Mm-hmm. They were on the road singing and my little sister had filled in for me and we were trying to keep it as low down and low key as possible. And I was there with my grandmother Judy and I just got alone with God for about an hour and I just prayed and I said, Lord, I am scared to death where this could take me, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I need you, if this is not what you want, I need you to completely close the door to where it is inevitable that I know that this is not what you want. And that was the night before. I mean, I was just crying. I said, Lord, there's so many people there that it's split up. You know, all these people say, go, 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 go. And then you've got the other people that said, I can't believe she's doing it. Why are you doing this yourself? And so when they told me no, and I stepped back from it, and I looked back, and I thought, Lord, I prayed specifically, and you answered specifically. And that's just how our God works.
Yeah.
And I never had a doubt in my mind that it was a bad thing or, you know, that I just knew that this was what God wanted. I walked away, and I was completely okay with it. I mean, looking back, I don't have any regrets doing it. And I don't regret that I didn't make it because it's not what the Lord's will was. And he got me as far as he wanted me to go. There was a reason. There was a purpose for it. And, you know, and now being able to be a witness to those three people in that room, that might be the only church or Bible, you know, some people say that they ever read or see. Maybe to Jennifer, she'll see somebody who is you know, not scared to just say what they believe and to take a stand in front of her. And, you know, I told Mom, I said, you know, it's not easy because I was put in front of these things that there was money, there was fame, you know, and it was just, there was a huge record deal. Any kind of thing, any kind of music you could want on an album, it was there in front of me. All I had to do was, you know, as they say, sign the dotted line. Mm-hmm. And it is very tempting. I mean, it is. I thank God that I was raised in a family that brought me up, you know, that taught me that you need to stand your ground and you need to fight for what you believe in because especially nowadays, it gets a lot harder and it's not going to get any easier. And so that's, you know, that's how it ended up. We tell the story every night. People come to the concerts, we tell it. And you know, I am very thankful for the opportunity to have gone to American Idol, to have met all the people that I did. And it was a great experience, if nothing else. And, you know, it will definitely test your spiritual walk. Brian Walker, in fact, with the Perrys, you know, he did the same thing I did. And the first thing he told me when I got advice from him about doing it, he was one of the people I called, he said, it will test your spiritual walk with God more than a lot of other things have ever done for me.
Wow.
And at first I didn't understand what he was talking about. You know, he said, we're so used to being in Southern Gospel where we sing to Christians every night. And you're around people that have no clue what Christianity is or Southern Gospel, you know, and these people, they look at you and all they want to do is rock and rap and R&B and pop. And you're the only one in the room that's like, hey, can I sing, you know, He Touched Me? And you're the oddball out.
Yeah.
And so he told me, he said, you have to be strong in your walk with God. And once I got there, it was completely, it made sense to me, you know, what he was talking about. So that's how it ended. And, you know, I'm thankful for it.
Was it a quiet ending? In other words, you went right back to your hotel room, flew back home, and that was the end? Or was there exit interviews or you have to sign release forms? Or, I mean, what was at the point when, and I guess maybe clarification, Jennifer asked you that point blank, and that changed even Randy and Stephen's mind at that point too?
Yeah, it did. Once she said, I think Stephen still said yes, but it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And so you know how that goes, 2-1, he's out. Ryan Seacrest, when I came out, hugged me, and he even told me, he said, I'm shocked. I thought you would be the one of the ones that would just, you know, breeze right through. And I walked out, and of course the cameras, they're in my face. And I think a lot of that was from me saying how big of a Christian I was and just how much I fought for it. They were waiting for me to make a mistake. You know, so if they did find something, they could put it on TV, like, oh, yeah, you're, you know, you're a real Christian, you know, you're getting upset and angry with the judges, you know. But I just, You know, I learned from my mom a lot. Always stay quiet. Just stay quiet and smile. And, you know, just walk out of there with your head held high. And that's what I tried to do. And I just didn't say a word to the cameras. We walked back to the car. And I did do one interview. If I remember correctly, yeah, I did one interview walking out. And they asked me, you know, how I felt. And, you know, I told them, I said, you know, it's a little disappointing, but I'm okay with it. And I tried not to bash any of them while I was there. I just, you know, just walk out quietly. And we got back in the car, and, you know, life went on. So they say it just went on. And I flew out the next morning, and I sang at the concert that we were at that next day. And, you know, life went back to normal.
Haven't heard from Nigel since?
No, haven't heard from Nigel. But he did. After I got done, he came and gave me a hug, and he said, I'm shocked. Wow. He said, if it were up to me, you'd have been through.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you're the owner of the show. It is up to you, Nigel. But, you know, I hugged him, and I thanked him for the opportunity to even be able to sing in front of him, that somebody like Nigel Lithgow would come up to me and say, you're an amazing talent. You know, it was an honor. And, even if he is in the world, you know, he knows about music, and he knows what's good and what's bad when it comes to music, and he knows good singing. And for him to say, you know, something like a compliment to me, just, it made my day. So I thanked him for the opportunity, and we walked out, and like I said, it was just, life went on.
Everything for the wife who feels betrayed, the child who is afraid, for the home that is broken by the scars of sin and shame. There is hope and there is healing in the power of Jesus' name. There is life in the blood of Jesus.
music from the Neelands, featuring the vocals of Amber Thompson on lead there.
You know, Scripture says, talks about how we'll be persecuted, and I think a lot of times we call stuff persecution when it's really not. But in this situation, it's interesting that with all of what you typically think of, Hollywood, society, and pop and everything, these terms you typically think of political correctness, and you typically think also of, you know, let that person be who they are. Let them breathe. Let them grow. And so in this case, you were trying to be who you were, and they were basically saying, no, you have to be this other way. So it's very interesting sometimes how one-sided they are on that, and again, using in a very broad, painting with a broad brush here. So.
Oh, yeah, and in my eyes, it felt like discrimination, you know, because if I had been, you know, Hindu or Buddhist or, you know, them it's like, oh, we can't, that's their religion, they're free to practice it, but let me walk in there with my Christian beliefs and you're too Christian. And I just felt like it was just I wasn't treated fairly, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't what God wanted. Yeah. And what he did want was for me to stand up for what I believed, and maybe it was a test. I don't know. Maybe it was him testing me to see if I would, and, you know, thank God I passed. Because if I didn't, I mean, what kind of a witness would that have been? Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like it was very wrong in the way they handled it, maybe just her and how she handled it. I mean, to me, Stephen didn't really have I don't think he cared either way. I don't really think Randy cared either. So, but yeah, you're exactly right. You're right on it.
Jesus, I heard you had a big house where I could have a room of my own. And Jesus, I heard you had a big yard, big enough to let a kid roam. I heard you had clothes in your closet, just the right size that I wear. And Jesus, I heard, if I give you my heart, then you'd let me go there. Jesus, I heard about me a time when all your children come to eat. I heard you had own seat. And Jesus, they said that there'd be plenty of good things in heaven to share. And Jesus, I just like to tell you, I sure would love to go there.
Well, it's probably a blessing that it happened there, and it happened that way. If they had not been too concerned about it then, and if you had gone through the process, you would have probably maybe had some questions on the way. Am I still doing the right thing? Am I still in the will of God? And then, you know, you're asked to do this song here, and then you have an issue with your dress there, and, you know, you have to pick and choose little battles, and it, and maybe that, not saying that you're not a strong person, but that to some people might sneak in a little bit. This was a very, I'm very surprised at the way that it was just so bold and in your face, and, you know, maybe they've just been doing it long enough to know what they want, what they don't want, and they just clear-cut answer it, but I think that's certainly, to hear you say praise God that they did it in that way, it left you with no question. This is like textbook stuff, like, you know, you study in Sunday school, like, okay, if you're asked to stand up for Christ, oh, sure I will, but typically we don't see it in that clear-cut way. It sneaks in and easier compromising with you. You're artist after artist. When I see you at industry events, they come up and they're just blown away with your voice. And at your age, you've got a lifelong career ahead of you if you want it, and it looks like you do. So I'm glad you're singing the gospel. I'm glad you're on our team. And so with the Neelands, I mean, and we're going to catch up with your family and get a full update of what you all are doing. No signs of slowing down, huh?
No signs at all of slowing down. In fact, we are speeding up. But I love it.
Yeah.
I love being busy. So, we are just loving every minute of the way.
If you were, and I'm not saying you are or aren't, but if you were to do a solo Christian gospel album tomorrow, I would assume it would be kind of in the family of gospel music and the Southern gospel category, but what influences would you bring into a solo work were it to be in your lap tomorrow?
Man, I don't know. I am the kind of person that likes all genres of music. You know, I like a little bit of country. I like a little bit of the mountain bluegrass type feel. I really like it all, honestly. So I really probably couldn't say. It'd probably just be song after song, whatever song I picked and I felt like, you know, had a good flair to it, I'd pick it. So
schizophrenia CD.
Yeah, exactly. It's a schizophrenic CD.
Amber, we can keep up with you, I guess, through the Neelands website, and that is
www.thenelands.com.
Well, you're great for sharing the story with us, and I think the Christian audience will applaud you for your stand, and we certainly do.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.